I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative. Toronto votes this October. In the lead up to the 2022 municipal election, CGRU is reaching out to all candidates in the downtown wards. Today, Nikki Ward joins CGRU to discuss her decision to run for Ward 13 Toronto Centre. Prior to joining the Ward 13 race, Ward was the Ontario Green Party's candidate in Toronto Centre this past June. She is a longtime advocate for 2S LGBTQ plus rights and community and disability rights in the ward.
My name is Nikki Ward, N-I-C-K-I, Ward, W-A-R-D, and I'm running for City Council here in Ward 13, and also known as Toronto Centre. I'm an equity-seeking candidate on several intersections. I'm a woman, one of the few women running in this election. I'm a trans woman, which means if elected, I would be the first trans woman elected to any parliamentary office anywhere in Canada, which is kind of exciting. I'm also a person with a disability, and I think I bring a special lens to the issues that we're facing here in Toronto Centre because of that. I'm an elder, although young in heart, I am an older person. And as my partner reminds me to, I often forget, I'm also a lesbian, so a proud member of the LGBTQ community.
Great. So when did you decide it was the right time to run for Ward 13 seat?
I ran actually in the provincial election with the help of the Green Party of Ontario. And so I'm deeply concerned about the issues facing Toronto Centre and Ward 13. And there's a fair amount of overlap between the provincial legislation and the City of Toronto. When the municipal elections came around, there was an open seat. And there was talk about a legacy candidate, someone who had been anointed. And many of us in the community, myself included, feel that this is a democracy and that we need to have a vigorous democratic race to decide who is going to help Toronto Centre in the next municipal period. I went around to many of my friends, I've been an advocate for 35 years, and said, look, we need a qualified candidate who is can work across party lines, who has deep qualifications in the community, and who is ready to do the job. And it was pointed out to me that I was well qualified. So we are actually a coalition of many amazing people from all parties supporting our campaign to be the next nonpartisan, deeply engaged advocate for Toronto Centre Ward 13.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty interesting when you mention the legacy parties, legacy candidates in Toronto Centre. So my next question is, Kristen Wong-Tam was the city councillor for quite some time in Ward 13 and the former Ward 27. They're fairly popular, a trusted voice for the community and its residents. How can you earn this voter's trust that's been so accustomed to Kristen?
Well, Kristen is not running, and I have a 35-year history of advocacy in this community. I'm a former board member of the 519. I sit on the executive of City Park Co-op, which is one of the largest co-ops in North America, and certainly the largest in Ontario. So I have a high degree of expertise in housing. I'm also a long-term advocate in the LGBT community here in Ward 13. I helped start the first trans march on Yonge Street, and I was involved in changing the legislation, the Constitution of Canada, to include gender identity and gender expression. So on the, shall we say, on the left side of the equation, my qualifications, I think, are above reproach. I also come from a background of from the business community. I was the vice president of an insurance company on Bay Street, had a budget of $12 million, staff of 200, and an outside staff of about 1,000, and responsible for board-level decision-making at a very high level. And that's relevant in the city of, the city of Ward 13, because there are 110,000 residents here. The job of city councillor in Ward 13 isn't what it used to be. We are more like the chief executive officer of a small or to medium-sized corporations. So these management skills become extremely important, and another aspect that I bring to the table. So a balance between strong social sensibility and responsibility, but also a deep experience and education in the business community and the business of running large organizations.
Great. So just getting to the platform and the concerns of Toronto Centre right now, I'm just going to list them, and I'd just like to know your thoughts on them and how you would address them as the city councillor. Right. So the first one is affordable housing.
Yeah. Well, again, I'm a member of of the executive at the board level of City Park Co-op. And clearly co-op housing is sustainable housing that actually works. And that's a strong part of our platform. Our platform is deep and can be found at our website at nickyward.ca. And to go into it in, you know, great granular detail would be a disservice to your listeners and readers. However, the bottom line here is that the largest landlord in Toronto is Toronto. Toronto Community Housing Corporation owns an enormous amount of property that is close to being uninhabitable. And so our part of our platform is to, wherever possible, transfer some of those properties out of the control or mismanagement of Toronto Community Housing and into the control of people, either by virtue of a co-op or land trusts. And at the same time, encourage Toronto Community Housing to get back to its roots, which is managing the enormous amount of property that it has and making sure that it actually has full occupancy. Right now, to be frank, if TCHC, Toronto Community Housing, was fully occupied, we would have much less of a housing problem than we do right now. On the other side of the coin, and I'm sure this is going to come up, we have a mental health and addiction crisis in our community. And housing cannot simply be putting people into boxes. So we need specialized housing that provides care for vulnerable populations, but for at-risk populations. People who are recovering from mental health and addictions need supportive housing. Older people need supportive housing. People with disabilities need supporting housing. We have this thing of aging in place. We need to have healing in place as well. And the problem right now is that housing is just putting people into one size fits all boxes. And that makes some areas, some shelters unsafe. Consequently, another thing I'm sure we'll discuss, consequently, people feel safer sleeping on the streets or sleeping in parks than actually in the housing that has been made available to them, because that housing is not safe for them. So who can blame them for wanting to live anywhere else than that?
Yeah, you touched on it already, but I was going to ask you for the next follow-up. It is building trust in the shelter system and addressing the tent encampments.
Well, when working with the 519, before I joined the board of directors, I volunteered there for 25 years and helped guide a lot of the processes they now use in shelters. I was part of the training team that went out to talk to shelter operators and shelter residents about getting along with members of the LGBT population. You have to remember that it has not always been fashionable to be trans or LGBT, and many of the people in shelters are already deeply traumatized and tend to lash out in what's called lateral violence. So I was part of the education process and the healing process for that in those shelters. Right now, they're at absolutely crisis levels, and they're simply not physically safe for a large number of our at-risk populations, and we've got to fix that, simple as that.
For the next one, it is accessibility and safety in the community.
Again, this has been high on my list of things to deal with. When running in the provincial election, I was the official critic on disability issues. And we do know that ODSP rates, which admittedly are provincial, are far too low. And consequently, people with disabilities are facing just abject poverty. The same is true of OW, Ontario Works, which is not provincial, but is indeed municipal. And so that is something we can directly address. In terms of accessibility, I am a person with a disability, which includes mobility. Downtown in Toronto, Ward 13, Toronto Centre, is in complete gridlock. Every single major street, north, south, and west, east, is blockaded by construction, by demolition, by sewer public works, and of course, an enormous amount of housing that's going up. None of it is coordinated. And during that time, getting around is simply not safe. We've already had people injured. And indeed, just yesterday, somebody killed in our community, in large part because one cannot get around at all, whether it's by foot, by wheelchair, with a walker, with a bicycle, with a car, with public transit. It's just blockaded. The city of Toronto has failed to coordinate this properly, and it has failed to meet its obligation, its deep obligation, to make sure that people like myself with a disability can actually get around to the shops, to our local community centers, to the hospital, to our doctor if we need it. And the same is, it's not just for people with disabilities, it's everybody. We're talking about kids. Right now, I hate to say it, but we're going to see an increased number of injuries and perhaps even deaths, because this has been horribly mismanaged. And again, this is something I intend to stop on day one. One of the ways we can do that, by the way, is by instituting a citizen-led watchdog group peopled by folks with disabilities who go around and call out these unsafe practices that are going on right now. It's already against the law to build a construction site where people can't get by, but it's not being enforced. And we need citizen-led groups to hold the city to account on that, who in turn will keep the construction companies in line as well.
Mm-hmm. So for the next one, I'd like to know your thoughts on LGBT rights and concerns.
Well, I, as I said earlier, I have a deep history in that. I organized one of the first marches on Yonge Street for the trans community, even when we were not facing getting a lot of support from the rest of the LGBT community. I have also participated as part of the team that changed the Charter of Rights in Canada. The Constitution of Canada now contains some protection for people on basis of gender identity and gender expression. 25 years ago, when I came out, that wasn't true. And I've been a part, proud to be a part, of the people working to get that changed, directly involved in the language over, of course, Bill 389, 279, and then Bill C-16. So in terms of LGBTQ advocacy, and of course, being one of the first trans women to serve as a board member on the 519, I've been at the pointy end of LGBT advocacy, not quietly sitting on the sidelines, but loudly, and I think effectively, on the front lines. There's a fair number of photographs of me confronting other people who are being bigoted, unreasonable, and I'm honored to be to do that. That's just part of how I was raised and how I try to go through life.
So for my next one, it is climate action.
Well, again, I ran on behalf of the Green Party of Ontario, so we have a very, 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 very deep commitment to climate action. As it relates to the city of Toronto, we actually have, and particularly Toronto Centre, we have the opportunity to present to the rest of the world what urban environmentalism looks like. We don't have a lot of ground level real estate. A lot of our parklands has been covered up, but we have an enormous amount, acres and acres of land on the top of buildings. So green roofs, for example, is a way that we could lead the way and show the rest of North America how to live in a way that is sustainable. Additionally, in the Toronto Centre, we have a recycling program that frankly isn't working. We've all seen cases where we have carefully separated our trash and from our recyclables, only to see them later being dumped into the back of the same truck, and then as we're going on to be dumped into the same landfill. Many apartment buildings have given up even the pretense of recycling, and many city of departments, including the city parks, have stopped even pretending to recycle. And this is tragic, because when I go to the park, I don't know why, I still make sure that I put my recyclings in one area, and when I had a dog, the dog compostables in another area and the litter somewhere else. But the trouble is, the parks are just picking all of that stuff, putting it into the same truck, and then into the same landfill. So our recycling right now isn't working. It's recycling theater. And so instituting immediately a recycling program that actually works and actually does the job, I think we're already doing our part as consumers. But the city, and to be frank, manufacturers and distributors of this unrecyclable material, which is the real problem, are not doing their part. So can we do think globally, act locally? There's an enormous amount that we can do here in Toronto Centre that on the Canadian stage, and indeed on the North American stage, to show how urban environmentalism, urban areas where 80% of the world's population lives, can lead the fight against climate change. It's not just about polar bears in the North Pole. It's about people like us in the city that care, and that want to use our political power and our consumer sovereignty to make effective changes. There's an awful lot we can do. I could go on. As I say, it's a deep platform that we have, but includes things like retrofits, making sure that all roofs are environmentally friendly, that we don't lose energy through roofs that are painted the wrong color, and basic stuff. And of course, a transit system that actually works all the time, as opposed to what we have now is a transit system that doesn't work and then forces people to rely on private vehicles. So we could, I believe, and this may be it may come back, but I believe that in Toronto Centre, we could become carbon neutral well ahead of the rest of the country, because we're a very condensed area and a very small geographic area. We can affect change that is really meaningful really quickly. If we have someone at City Hall, like myself, who is able to advocate articulately, not just to the loyal left, but also to the radical right. You see, good environmentalism isn't expensive. On the contrary, proper environmentalist sustainability is environmentally, socially, and economically sustainable. If we had a recycling program that actually works, the city of Toronto would save an enormous amount of money for landfill fees alone. So if it's done right, not only can we have, it's the best of both worlds. We can have a clean, safe planet, and we can save money. But that needs to be communicated clearly to people who have traditionally not been supportive of climate action.
For my next one, it is police reform.
Mm-hmm. Well, in Toronto Centre, we have 51 division. We have serious, serious problems. Not only do we have a lack of sensitivity in many members of the police force, 51 division is better than most, but it still has its issues. And part of that is because the Toronto police force, police officers don't, many of them do not live in Toronto. So number one, I think we need to encourage with a checkbook that our Toronto police services to give priority to police officers that actually live in Toronto. Secondarily, we've got to stop having police officers guarding holes in the ground. It's bizarre to see, and wrong, to see city resources. I was walking just by TMU, just past the quadrant earlier today. There's construction going on the street. There is a police officer in a car, bought and paid for by the city of Toronto, with the engine running, mind you, using gas, bought and paid for by the city of Toronto. And this police officer was just looking at their phone, scrolling through, I don't know what, Tinder, Grindr, what have you. And meanwhile, this is not a good use of police services that we already pay for. Just to guard a hole in the ground? It's bizarre. It's wrong. It's absolutely wrong. So we need to assign police to things that they should be doing. And this doesn't mean running around, you know, chasing people out of encampments. There's a lot of good work that could be done. Basic policing. Going back to the accessibility and public safety issue, traffic in Toronto is out of control. People are filled with rage because of the bad management and bad planning, and consequently driving too fast, driving on the sidewalk in the case of some electric vehicles. Some police officers doing basic traffic duty would do an enormous amount to improve the quality of life here. Furthermore, police officers and emergency services in general could be spending the time that they would otherwise be doing looking at a hole in the ground, using resources that we pay for. I like to emphasize that they're using a car burning gas that we've already paid for as taxpayers. But anyway, enough about that degree of waste. But let's have them, and there are good police officers that engage in outreach, people at risk who are ready to have moved into supportive housing. This is good work that can be done and isn't being done right now. So I know that there are deep-rooted underlying causes to the issues we have. I know that, but I don't accept the argument that's been presented by police that they need more money, more equipment before they can do anything. I don't buy that argument. I'm just not buying it.
So this is one of the last ones for the platform questions, but I would like to know your opinion on the strong mayor system and how you will work as a councillor to maintain accountability on the mayor.
Yeah, really good question. Really good question. I've done a lot of thinking about this. And the fact of the matter is, and it sounds perhaps a bit catchy, but a strong mayor calls for a strong councillor. somebody who was prepared with to do without name calling, to stand toe to toe and advocate professionally, rationally, articulately for our needs. John Tory, you know, the jury's out on him. There are some things to his housing policies that I actually think are okay. There are some things that I have an issue with, but on the whole, I like the idea of inclusive zoning, which is on there. I like the idea of cooperative housing, which is in there. The problem is that there has not been, shall we say, collegial dialogue between Toronto Centre and the other progressive candidates and the mayor's cadre of supporters. It's been turned into a partisan battlefield where, you know, highfalutin ideas are put forward at the cost of basic common sense. So one of the things in terms of the strong mayor, as a strong councillor, I intend to set up and engage with the mayor professionally, but very, very, how should I say? I can say it, a strong mayor calls for a strong councillor, not someone who is constantly, you know, looking for the photo opportunity or virtue signaling, but somebody can figure out how the pragmatics of things. And to circle back to a conversation we had earlier about how I became involved with this, I talked to a lot of really, really great people in our community who would also have made good counselors if they had chosen to run. But when in talking to them, you know, like I'm talking to you and your listeners now, honestly, authentically, we need someone who is not perceived to be partisan. Now, I've run as a Green Party candidate, but I have also had the support of members of the not just the Green Party, but the Red Party. I have friends in the Liberals and the Orange Party, good friends in the NDP. And heck, I even have good friends in the Blue Party because I talk about environmental and economic sustainability. So it was generally felt that I would be able to serve as an advocate for our community across party lines, without engaging in, you know, hyperbole or party politics at the expense of key issues that need to be solved right now. Our housing crisis may well have been caused by, you know, the political errors of the past at the provincial or indeed the federal level. But right now we have a problem. We have people who are dying for lack of care, lack of shelter. And, you know, that really, to me, that transcends any nonsense about, you know, partisan, one party over another. And so I've been able to, for our campaign, get a coalition of amazing people across party lines. And I believe strongly that that will help us present a strong team to the strong mayor that we are inevitably going to have.
Overall, what would you like to tell voters in the lead up to the October election?
Oh, boy. Well, I think one thing is that you can make a difference. If nothing changes, nothing changes. If you are happy with what's going on right now, stay home, don't vote. But if you want change, then for heaven's sakes, get out, volunteer for our campaign, of course, but vote, vote. We know that this election is probably going to have some of the lowest voter turnout ever. And that's terrible. That is the end of democracy. And this and the low voter turnout supports business as usual. In other words, the same old candidates, well, I mean, the same old councillors doing the same old thing that we know doesn't work. So get out and vote. Do your homework. Don't just check, you know, anybody at random. Do your homework and vote for the candidate you think will do the best for you and for your community. Don't think somebody else will do it. The sad truth is the number of people turning out to vote has become smaller and smaller and smaller. So vote, vote, vote. Vote early, vote often, as my mother used to say.
And how can voters learn more about your campaign?
Well, a couple of things. Obviously, they can visit me through the website, nickiward.ca. They can also go to the City of Toronto website, confirm that they're on the voters list, and there's a links through to my site and the site of other people who are running across Toronto. And we're pretty accessible. I mean, we have our own phone line. We have email, admin, Instagram, Facebook, Nikki Ward, Nikki Ward, NickiWard. Not difficult to find, or at least I hope not. Yeah, that'd be lovely. Come out and here's the thing. You know, there's a lot of doom and gloom out there, but I have to tell you that campaigning, getting involved with this is fun. If you haven't volunteered for a campaign, of course, I hope you volunteer with us, but if you haven't done so before, do it. It's so much fun. It's so invigorating to be around people who are passionate about community and about getting things done. And yeah, and thank on that note, thank you for doing this. This is so important. This work of getting the message out, engaging people, getting people enthusiastic, and showing them that, okay, there are things that we can't do half a planet away, but there are things we can do right here in Toronto Centre, right now, to change the bloody world, right here. It's very, very exciting and fun stuff to do. So yeah, that's I will get off my soapbox eventually.
All right. Before we go, Nikki, are there any other final thoughts you would like to add?
Well, let me see now. I'm just going to go back actually and take a quick look at we've got all our policy platform. We've got accessibility. We talked about that. Safety. We talked a little bit about that. Oh, we didn't talk about taxes. I'll get back to that. Climate. We talked about housing policy. Taxes. You know, if you rent in Toronto like I do, we pay taxes. It's just hidden in our rent. And I think that needs to change. We need to know how much of our rent is actually going in taxes. And although this is a bit nerdy, for those who are lower income, rent geared to income, RGTI or lower income, the tax component must be the first dollar flowing through should be taxes. In other words, when you apply for a tax credit, if you're a low income person, then all of that should be eligible for a tax credit or a Trillium benefit. Again, it's maybe a little bit nerdy, but we do pay taxes as renters. And so we too need to be concerned about how our money is being spent, and we need politicians to realize that yes, we pay taxes. It's not just homeowners, although they are important. Renters pay taxes too.
That was Nikki Ward, candidate for Ward 13, Toronto Centre. Toronto's election is scheduled for October 24th. I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative.